sa shi cha also tataha thereafter tasya of him vira yuta patehe the master of heroes buddhi by the intelligence shila behavior rupa beauty vayaha youth shriya opulence audarya audaryena and by the magnanimity parakshipta attracted manaha her mind tena saha with him ayuta 10,000 ayuta 10,000 parivatsara years upalakshanam extending kalam time jambudvipa patina with the king of jambudvipa bhoma earthly svarga heavenly bhogan pleasures bubuje enjoyed translation attracted by the intelligence learning youth beauty behavior opulence and magnanimity of Agnidra the king of Jambudvipa and master of all heroes Purvachitti lived with him for many thousands of years and luxuriously enjoyed both worldly and heavenly happiness. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. By the grace of Lord Brahma, King Agnidra, and the heavenly girl Purvachitti, found their union quite suitable. Thus they enjoyed worldly and heavenly happiness for many thousands of years. I think they put Brahma on the invitation for the weddings also. No, yeah. So Brahma is considered to be very connected with happiness between the husband and wife. So someone may worship Brahma for that kind of happiness. Someone may worship goddess Uma to get a very beautiful wife. A girl may worship Lord Shiva to get a very nice husband, or she may worship goddess Katyayani, or one may worship the sun god to get very good health, strong body. There are so many different karmakandiya arrangements that one can make to get their good share of enjoyment in the material world. But this is something like bribing the jail warden. The warden, he may, if you bribe him, he may give you a cell that's got a little more sunlight through the window than the other cell. Or he may give you a little bit more food on the plate, or some extra sweet or something. But the fact remains that one is still bound up in the prison, even if he bribes, or even if he worships the jailer, the warden. So Krishna says that those who worship the demigods, yanti deva bhata devan, tri janti prati vitaha, bhutani yanti bhuteja, yanti madhyajinopima. They're impelled by material desires and therefore they're not very intelligent. Anyone who worships demigods for material things is not very intelligent. Because it means he's trying to make an arrangement for being happy in this place. But this place, Tukalayam Ashashvatam, it's a place of misery. There's no spiritual pleasure here. The pleasure that one achieves is illusory pleasure. It's like the pleasure that one gets when he's on the desert and he sees a mirage of an oasis. And he's thinking, this is so nice because I'm only a few hundred yards away from an oasis and I'm going to drink the fresh crystal clear water and I'm going to bathe and take a swim and there'll be women there and everything will be wonderful. So he's thinking like that, that I'm looking forward to wonderful pleasure. And he's getting some happiness. In fact, he may even have a smile on his face. If someone's walking with him, say, what are you smiling about? Say, up ahead is a wonderful oasis. So that's all in his mind. It's an illusion based on the elements of heat and light, different, and his mind is not able to. So he thinks, now I'm going to get so much pleasure. Or it's like the pleasure that one derives when he thinks, I have so much money in the bank. I see on the online account, I see how many zeros are in my account. And he's very happy. But he's still a prisoner. He's still bound up. Even if one has so much wealth or if he has a nice oasis. But if in a few minutes afterwards he's going to die, he's going to meet death. So what is the use? How long does one live? 100 years. So we have our 100 years on earth. And in the planets of the demigods, they have 10,000 years times 180. So maybe several thousands of years or maybe even a million years. But what is the benefit of some extra time? It's still temporary. He still has to die. An intelligent person is not interested just in extending his life. I was speaking with someone yesterday. Now they have a new program. Instead of bypass a heart bypass, they have a stent or something like that. So it's like a bypass, bypassing the bypass. It's another, and hopefully they'll be able to live a few years longer. But how long is a few years in eternity? So they're making arrangements to try to live a few years longer, a few more moments. Prabhupada told the story of one of his acquaintances. He was 54 years old. He was a very wealthy man. And the doctors diagnosed that you're going to die very soon. So he said, my dear doctors, you kindly give me 4 more years. I'll give you I'll give you a big sum of money. He was very wealthy. And they said, we cannot give you any, not even a moment, Leon. We have no power. Even Frank Sinatra, before he died, he had a big estate, very wealthy. He offered 50% to anyone who could help him live. He knew he was going to die. But it wasn't possible to give him life, even with so much money. So an intelligent person thinks, how can I solve this real problem, the problem of death? And then the problem of death, then there's birth again. The real problem is not death, the real problem is birth. If one can stop birth, janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatva chatva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sarjana. If one can stop birth, then there's no more death. And the way to stop birth is to become Krishna conscious. Therefore, the devotees are the most intelligent. They're the most thoughtful persons. Because they come up with solutions that really do solve the problems once and for all. Not some stopgap measure for a few minutes. He has a little bit longer lifetime. But after this lifetime, then he has to take birth again. Maybe as a crow, maybe something else in this material world, and the suffering goes on. So the female, as Maharaj Agnidra is experiencing, is very attractive to the male, and the male is very attracted to the female. This is Maya. The illusion is that the male-female, Pungsa Striya Mituni Bhavam Etam Tayor Hridaya Grantam Ahur Atokri Hakshatru Sutapta Vitaya Janasya Mohoya Mahamameti. It begins with this male-female attraction. This is what the material world is all about. Because the living entity, he's given up the association of Krishna, where Krishna is the only enjoyer. And the reason he's given it up is because he wants to be the enjoyer now. He wants to, instead of serving, he wants to be enjoying. He wants to be the master instead of being the servant. And in order to be the master, he has to go someplace where it's possible. In the spiritual world, it's not like that. There's no opportunity for additional masters. There's only one. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasababritya. And even in the material world, no one's really the master, but at least the Maya, she creates the illusion that one thinks he can be the master. So he can live out a dream where he's thinking, I will be able to enjoy. Yeah. And the female is perfectly designed to make him think that, yes, she wants to serve me. She's here for my enjoyment. And so he tries to find pleasure with her. And she's also thinking, I will enjoy this man. He will serve me. It's not that she's thinking that I will serve him. That's the illusion. He will serve me. I will act like I'm serving him, but ultimately I'll convince him that he should serve me. This is how it works. And they make so many plants, ato griha kshetra. So the beginning is male and female attraction, sex life, and then they get a house, griha kshetra, land, suta, children, apta, relatives, vitire, wealth. In this way, he becomes completely bound up, just like a silkworm becomes bound up with the cocoon. He spins a cocoon, and then he gets trapped, and he can't get out. So that is the trap, the entrapment. Now, someone may object that you're teaching everyone to give up family attraction, give up arrangements for this world. How will the things go on? Well, we don't have to worry because not everyone will give it up. The material world will continue to go on because there will always be someone who wants to try to enjoy this. But even if, theoretically, everyone in the universe gave up the desire for sense gratification and went back to Godhead, still, the Lord will not be objecting. He's very happy if everyone goes back to Godhead. Just like the government would be very happy if all the prisoners in the prison gave up being criminals. If they all had a change of heart, they could let them all out and they could use the prison for something else, for a hospital or a school. No one would mind. So, this so-called heavenly pleasure, it's heavenly pleasure is simply worldly pleasure. The description is given here. Boma means earthly or worldly, and svarga. So boma refers to, we're in the bhumandala. Bhumandala, bhuvar, bhur bhuvasva. So these are the three middle planetary systems. We're situated on the lowest of the three middle planetary systems. And so what is the difference between heavenly pleasure and earthly pleasure? Can anyone say? Yes, he said a little bit more, that's all. Simply a little bit more sense gratification or opportunity for, just like, for example, if someone is put in prison and his cell is gold leafed. So all the bars are gold leaf, and the other one is just ordinary iron. So the one who's in the gold leaf cell, he's very proud. Huh, you people, you foolish people. What kind of criminals are you? Look at the cell you're in. It's made of iron, dark iron. And I have this gold shining cell. You're so foolish. I'm such a good criminal. Now, this is the illusion. It's not different than that. It's exactly like that. Or, you know the story of Indra. So Indra was the king of heaven and he made some offense. So he was cursed to come down to earth and get the body of a hog. So he got the body of a hog. And once he got the body of a hog, then his taste changed. Before, he was interested in women like Purvachitti and Urvashi. But after he got the body of a hog, he didn't see them as very attractive anymore. Now he saw female hogs as attractive. And he married a very beautiful female hog. And he had children. And he was very, he had his home, a sty, pigsty. That was his home. And so he was just getting more and more involved in the whole pig lifestyle. And in the heavenly planet, they were having difficulty with the administration without Indra. So they sent, you know, someone, come back, we need you, Indra. You're Indra. And he was not interested. Then finally even Brahma came. You have to come back now, Indra. Give up this. And he said no. He was attached. So finally Brahma had to show him by cutting off the attachment, by killing his children and his female. Then finally he woke up and he realized that he was Indra. But the example is that even someone who's in the body of Indra, if he's put in a body of a hog, he will think that he's better than Indra. He will think that his position is perfect. He thinks he's happy. So if you consider that that's all it is, that the hog is no better, no worse off than you. He's also happy with the she-hog and eating stool. That's what the hogs do. If the hog is eating stool and he's happy, and he thinks that this beautiful pig, female pig, is his beloved woman, then what about you? And what about the Indra? He's also thinking the same thing. Does this make sense? Philosophically? Logically? Then why are we still running after these things? Because Maya is very strong. Maya is so strong that it bewilders our intelligence. Even if one theoretically understands it, it's difficult to give up the attraction. Maya is so designed that she creates the bodies that just captivates our mind. And each species is only captivated by the species, the female species, or the male species. It's amazing how Maya has created. And this Maya is working under Krishna's direction. And why is it like that? Because we wanted to enjoy trying to be the master, so Krishna gives us a wonderful opportunity to live out the illusion, the fantasy. And still, we never want to give it up. The living entity goes on, lifetime after lifetime, millions of lifetimes, he doesn't give it up. He thinks, let me try it in the body of a pig, let me try it in the body of a bird. Pigeons are very sexually agitated. They're always interested. But they get to fly also. The pig, he's interested in sex, but he can't fly. So now, let me see how sex is if I can fly also. And then all the eating, the pig has to eat stool, but the bird, he gets to eat worms. That's a step up. Higher level, he gets to eat worms. And some other animal, he gets to eat something else. So there's Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, Kevala, Visharabanda, Amrita, Bholya, Jeva, Kai, Nana, Yonhir, Sadab, Firye, Kadarya, Bhakshana, Kare. Eating different things in different species, that's the program. So, the human form of life is not meant for these things, for making arrangements. The human form of life is for solving the problem once and for all, get free from this attraction to the material things, whether it's the food or the sex. We have a great opportunity in one lifetime to become fully self-realized and to give up our attraction. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his Sankirtan movement, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam. Vairagya, there has to be renunciation along with, and the knowledge to go along with it. We have to understand, I'm not this body, and as long as I think I'm this body, then I will act on that level. Well, this movement is the only movement that can give liberation. Where else will you get liberation? Even if you think, I'll enjoy my senses in heaven, you're still bound up. Who doesn't want to enjoy their senses? They're thinking, I'll go to heaven and I'll enjoy more there. But what is the difference? The Vaishnava, the devotee, he's thinking, I'll go to Krishna Loka and I'll serve. He simply wants to serve. I don't want anything. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam ba jagadishikamai. Mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktiro hoitu kitvai. He just wants service to Krishna. You may say, well, that's also, he wants pleasure. But that's all right. To want pleasure from service, that's acceptable, but even a devotee doesn't even want pleasure from service. Daruka, Krishna's chariot driver, one day he was fanning Krishna. And he was feeling overwhelming ecstasy because Krishna is Anandamaya Vyasat. He's full of ecstasy, and anyone who serves Krishna gets ecstasy. And so Daruka was a great devotee. He was so dedicated. But now he was getting ecstasy. He was trembling. He was shaking. The hairs on his body were standing up. Tears were flowing from his eyes. He was stunned. He couldn't move anymore. So this was terrible. Because how could he perform his service? He was in such ecstasy, but he was furious. Oh no, he was cursing this ecstasy. This is ruining my service. So really, the pure devotee just wants service. He wants to give pleasure to Krishna. He doesn't care even for pleasure for himself. He may get pleasure if it comes, devotee. If it's favorable for devotional service, then he'll accept it. If he gets pleasure, and with that pleasure, he can become enthusiastic to do more service, then he'll accept it. But if that pleasure is interrupting, someone asked the other day, that what happens if, because we were speaking about fame, if one becomes a devotee, he'll naturally become famous. And there's nothing wrong in becoming famous for being a devotee, according to Ramananda Roy. So someone asked the question, what happens if you get infamy? How can that be favorable for your devotional service? You may think, well, fame can be nice. It's nice to be famous. And then I can use that fame for serving Krishna. But how can I use infamy? Well, infamy could be wonderful for your humility levels. If you become infamous, then wherever you go, they say, and then you become very humble. This is very beneficial for me to become infamous. Of course, one should not act in such a way that he warrants infamy. But if it comes of its own accord, then it's Krishna's mercy. Krishna has so kindly given me this infamy. I'll never become puffed up and proud. I'll never forget my position. So, thank you very much. If there's any questions. Okay.
Sometimes we hear that we want devotional service birth after birth. There is some shloka which says that we want devotional service of Krishna birth after birth. And the opposite is that we want to go back to Godhead during this life only. In this life only. So both are seems contradictory. So which is the right attitude to take?
No. Krishna wants the devotee to prepare himself for going back to Godhead in this lifetime. That means become completely detached from the material world and become totally attached to devotional service. Now, if one does that, then he's fit to go back to Godhead. And it's up to Krishna, if Krishna agrees to take him back to home, back to Godhead, then. But Krishna may also have some service for him to do in the material world. And he may ask him, you kindly stay and do some service. And the devotee, of course, he's so surrendered, he's happy to stay. Because for one who's in that consciousness, there's no difference between being in the spiritual world or being in the material world. He doesn't see anything in the material world for sense gratification. So whether he's in the material world, jivan mukta suuchite, he's already liberated. So there's no difference for him. He's in bliss, he's in Vaikuntha, he's in the spiritual world anyway because his consciousness is there.
One thing is more that material centeredness and flesh. Material centeredness and flesh centeredness. Flesh. Flesh, flesh.
Flesh center.
Flesh centeredness means sexual. So these two are the roadblocks to becoming God centered. Am I right?
The obstacles.
They are obstacles. Material centeredness and flesh centeredness.
Material centered?
Yes.
So what's the difference between material centered and flesh centered? The same.
Same, yeah.
Same thing. The only difference is one is more gross and one is more subtle, but it's the same business.
So in case of sexually impotent people, can we say that they have natural advantage of not becoming flesh-centered?
No, because they still desire it. They may not be able to act on it. And the subtle aspects of the material pleasure, it's all coming from that. That's the beginning. So it's not going to solve the problem if I become just like once two elderly ladies came to see Srila Prabhupada. So they said, Srila Prabhupada or Swamiji, we've been meditating for 30 years. And Prabhupada said, what have you gained by your meditation? And they said, we've learned to be silent. And Prabhupada said, stones are silent for millions of years. It's not a very great accomplishment. So to be a stone, to be silent, and to... It doesn't mean that one's desireless. He's simply waiting for the opportunity. He's burning off his karma. And as soon as he gets another opportunity, what is it? Prabhupada gives an example of the bed bug. In the winter time, the bed bug is very thin. It doesn't mean that he's lost his desire for sucking blood. It's just not a good time. When the summer comes again, you see he becomes very fat, filled up with blood. So he's just waiting for the opportunity for sense gratification. So that man who's impotent or whatever, just temporarily, then as soon as he gets the opportunity again, back.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for your wonderful class. Can you please give us a brief overview of Vedic cosmology so that we can understand the exact location of Jambudvip in relation to the rest of the creation? Because this pastime is happening in Jambudvip. I want to understand where is Jambudvip.
We're also part of Jambudvip. We're part of Jambudvip. Jambudvip is the center of the universe. On the Bhu Mandala, on the Bhu level. It's in the center, and then, you know, it's surrounded by the saltwater ocean. And we are in Bharadvarsha, which is in the southern part of Jambudvip. And that Bharadvarsha was divided by the sons of Sagara when they were digging up. So it became several islands. And we are one of those islands, separated by water from the others. So that's our position. We're quite close to Meru, because Jambudvip is in the center. That's why we could say that we can present the geocentric model as being acceptable. Although, it's not that the planets are circumambulating Earth specifically, but they're circumambulating the pole star, and Meru happens to be just below the pole star. So that's why we can say that the geocentric model is more accurate than the... Yes.
You said we are covered by water on three sides. The planet Earth?
A Bharatkhanda, which is the little planet that we call Earth now. So there's that Earth, and then there's the greater Earth, which is Jambudvip, and then there's a greater Earth, which is Bhumandala. And so there's different...
Bharatkhanda, the planet Earth.
Well, what is that water? That water is from the saltwater ocean, because it came in when the Sagara's 60,000 sons were digging up. The water from the saltwater ocean came in. So it's now we're separated by that. Yes.
Which is a bigger ocean.
But our seven oceans are not even that ocean. That ocean... Because according to
I said our seven oceans have water from that ocean.
It's most likely.
I'm asking you. I'm not.
Yeah. No, I'm saying that because the Earth, Bharatkhanda, is situated on top of the Bhumandala that happens to be in the saltwater ocean. Therefore, maybe...
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much, very enlightening class. Maharaj, I have one question. I am engaged in book distribution, so I face a lot of this illusion, Krishna's illusion energy. So when we distribute books and I see my senior, they became the victims of Maya. So I am neophyte, I have not yet taken... You know, devotional process very seriously. So, and my senior devotees, they became victimized of Maya. They are also doing book distribution, but now they left the service. So, as a neophyte devotees, I am. So, what should I know? How I can prepare regarding my service so that I can fight, you know, book distribution very nicely? I can do.
You want to stay in book distribution?
So, but I am very spiritually. I am very weak because my senior devotees, they left book distribution service.
They left. You're weak.
So I am not mentally, you know, prepared. So how? What should I prepare?
His question, if I'm right, is he's saying that he's in book distribution, and when he goes out, he sees Maya is influencing him.
Yeah.
He's fighting it and trying to do the book distribution.
And others succumbed.
More senior people have fallen prey. So he's wondering, what is the guarantee that I won't? So should I, how do I protect myself?
Well, not everyone has fallen prey. Not everyone has fallen. So you can pray for the blessings of those who have not fallen prey. And all the acharyas, they didn't fall prey. So you can beg the blessings from the acharyas. We have so many great acharyas. You have to be begging, yes. We have to be in that mood of being a beggar. That I can fall down at any second. We shouldn't think that now I'm free from all attraction. No, I could fall down at any moment. And I'm already fallen. Not to speak could. It's not even theoretical. I'm already fallen. Look at me. I'm in this body full of desires and you know, my mind is out of control. But somehow or other, let me be engaged in some service. And if you can do book distribution, continue. That's very nice. If that's not possible, some other service is also absolute. Krishna is so kind. He accepts whatever service we can render. So somehow or other you want to be engaged in service eternally. Do as much service as you can. And you have to beg for the mercy of the devotees who are successful. Right? Just like at the wedding, I think that the wedding, they usually have the woman, she's helping the bride. She's already happily married with her husband, not somebody who's not happily married, who wasn't able to be successful in marriage. No. A successful wife, she should help the one. So you need to be helped by those who are successful in devotional service. Okay? You have many here.
This is probably also a topic for the management to reflect upon. The issue that he is raising, they should also think about how actually we are facilitating the book distributors' spiritual welfare. Sometimes, and I've been a part of that management, so I know we may be just sending them every day, come back, fast, this, that. We may assume that the rest of the program will support them in book distribution, but you know. They can also reflect
program,
on how
yes,
we can improve.
The program is designed to give full support, but it's not easy. Even if one follows the program, because as you said, Maya, the material energy, is just as Kali Yuga continues, it just gets more and more powerful. So it's not easy. But at the same time, if your intensity is you're praying more, you're chanting more, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you're chanting more sincerely, more attentively, like a child cries for its mother. When the baby cries for its mother, it's not like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And the child is crying, screaming. Everyone will be disturbed, so we have to chant very enthusiastically, please, when we bow down, when we pay our dandavats, please save me from this horrible maya. Get me out of this place. Keep me from falling down. I don't want to fall down. So praying, begging. Okay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.